oftentimes we don't keep them. Now, I will tell you that T and I, at the beginning of the year, said that we were going to try to get a little healthier, mainly in the exercise department. You know, we were so, and this is me doing those exercises that we do. And then something became evident to me, and my wife likes to make fun of me, is I am not very coordinated at all. At all, believe it or not. Now, I'm pretty good at the guitar, and that takes a little coordination, but then if I try to play the drums, it's directly correlated to my exercising skills. You know, Tiffany's like, you're doing that wrong. I'm like, I'm doing the best I can. This is it, you know. Like, my feet do not do this at opposite angles like that. My brain does not function that way. And so the last 2 weeks we were looking at Jesus and some of the pretty big things that he did before he went to the cross. It was our Easter primer. And today we start a 3-week series on our risen Savior, which kind of mirrors our coming Savior back in December. So it's kind of by the same skit, guys. But we talked a little bit about promises already. So have you ever made a promise to somebody before? Have you ever made a promise to somebody? Always. Okay. Now, how hard is it to keep that promise? Sometimes that can be pretty tough, right? I try not to make too many promises, and I'll go over this in just a second, because I'm horrible at keeping them. But has someone ever made a promise to you? Think back to a time where somebody made a promise to you. But how many of those times has that promise been broken when somebody promised you something? And what can happen when a promise gets broken, especially someone of a dear friend? Thoughts of disappointment flood the mind, flood the soul. We can oftentimes lose trust in the person that promised you the thing or the task. And in reality, sometimes a promise, we could just start blaming the other person for the things that they've done. So it's, oh, they did us wrong, they did me wrong. And like I mentioned before, I'm guilty of that. I know early on in my marriage with Tiffany, I don't know if you know this about myself, but I'm a vocal processor. So I don't process information in my brain inside my brain. I process it outside my brain. So which means that I might say something, and early on in our marriage, I would say, hey, I think it'd be a good idea if we went to the beach today. And then Saturday rolls along, and Tiffany's getting ready to go to the beach, and I'm like, well, what are you doing? Well, you said we're going to the beach. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. I just was just thinking some fun things to do. I didn't like stamp, you know, an official approval stamp on that. And oftentimes early in our marriage, there was this disappointment, right? There was a lot of disappointment early on, and it took a couple years to figure out exactly, you know, my problem. But oftentimes when a broken promise happens, it sometimes can lead to a broken relationship. Even if the other person didn't mean that to happen. And so today we're going to look at some people in the Bible, if that's okay. I think that'll be a good time. We're going to look at Jesus, of course, but also the interaction that he had with a gal named Martha and a gal named Mary. So let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 11. And we're going to kind of go through this thing piece by piece here. So John chapter 11, I'll wait a second or two. Wait. Yeah, cool. And it reads like this. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped it with her hair. Important information. We'll get to that later. Her brother Lazarus was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. All right, we're going to stop right there. So we have Lazarus, who's a sick person, friend of Jesus, right? That can't be too bad to have a friend like Jesus. And I don't know what the exact birth order of this is, but if you have two sisters, I only really know that situation with Kim and Tiffany and James. I'm sure that was exciting for Lazarus growing up. I'm sure that just was the best thing for Lazarus. Not only did he have a mother, he probably had two other mothers along with him, right? That's usually how that goes. That's right. That's right. Amen. So we have Martha, which is a sister, and we have Mary, who's the other sister. And it's interesting that John points out she's the gal that pours the expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. And we'll get to that, why that's so important later on. And he gets sick. He's on the verge of death. And they know who Jesus is. They've probably hung around him enough to know that he says these things like he's the Messiah. And he's come to save the people of their sins. So when there's a time of crisis, who do we go to? Who could possibly heal his brother, their brother? Jesus. So they sent a letter out. They sent a message. Because Jesus healed other people, surely he will heal his friend Lazarus. And in fact, if we looked up Lazarus' name, the meaning of it means whom God helps. So this is like a double, like, this is going to happen. Jesus is going to come, and Lazarus' name happens to mean whom God helps, and Lazarus definitely needs some help right now. Surely Jesus will save him from death. And so they send a message. And so something that's not really depicted, and I tried to do a little research on, is how long this message would have taken to get to Jesus. And then the question that I was thinking is, well, where's Jesus at in this story? And that's where the kind of gray area came into play. Couldn't find an exact location. But as I understood it, he was in a town. And any distance back in those days, you couldn't just hop on a train or go in a car or fly a plane. It would usually take a day or two for something to get to them, and then it would take another day or two to get back to the place that they needed to go to. So this wasn't just I got an email or a text. All right, let's go. Let's get in the car and drive 6 hours to the place where we need to go. That when Martha and Mary sent this message, there was a good chance that Lazarus, this dear friend of Jesus, would be dead by the time he received it. And knowing that when they sent this message that there was probably going to be maybe a day or two minimum before the letter would actually get to Jesus. And so this letter arrives to Jesus, and let's see how he reacts to the news here. Verse 4 through 7, chapter 11. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus, sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So, although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea. So, Lazarus being sick didn't bother Jesus. He didn't seem to be in a very big rush or very alarmed. And it was at this time when he first heard the message that Jesus makes a promise to his disciples that Lazarus's sickness will not end in death, because his sickness, the thing that Lazarus is going through, is somehow going to bring glory to God. And not only that, he decides to take a 2-day break or extend his trip for 2 days before he even sets out to see his friend Lazarus. Now, if I was to put myself in the shoes of the disciples, most likely they probably would have known Lazarus too. They probably would have had a meal together. They probably would have shared the Passover meal as well. So they probably would have been pretty good friends with Lazarus, met him once or twice. And if I was to put myself in their situations, we have Jesus who says, yeah, he's sick, but we're going to wait 2 days. How odd would it be? How sad would I feel to know that my friend is sick and I would really want to go see them, because there's a good chance that he's probably going to die, But then this, your rabbi, your teacher, your mentor says, no, we're going to hold off 2 days because he's not going to die. The sickness is going to glorify God. That to me, just like, that's not a very human thing to do, right? Because when someone gets sick in our lives, when somebody is in the hospital, the first person they call is usually the family. And then the second person is usually the pastor or some kind of clergy to come and see them. It's the times that I've been involved in a hospital event where somebody's on the verge of death, it's usually everybody comes to see the person in the hospital. And if I was to look at the other people's point of view, people from the outside looking in, what would their point of view be? So what if, you know, say if I had a good friend that was in the hospital and I said, you know, I'm gonna take 2 days before I actually go see him. I could go leave right now and be there in time, but I'm gonna wait 2 days because I'm sure he'll be just fine. That would kind of, if I was the friend in the hospital, I could feel a little betrayed. I could feel a little distrust that I thought that this Jesus guy was loyal to me, and come to find out he's taking a 2-day break before he comes and sees me. The fact that I was sick and I was dying and you didn't come to my aid. What kind of friend would Jesus be? And just like Jesus, just like we've seen in the last couple weeks, that Jesus tends to have this plan already worked out, where it's oftentimes, he says, it will make sense later. So we have another encounter with Jesus where that seems to be the case. So what do we see him do? After 2 days break, they leave. But it's not as easy as you might think to travel, especially for Jesus. So let's continue reading the story here. Verses 8 through 16. It says, but the disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago the people of Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. Then they can see because they have the light of the world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, soon he will get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go and see him. And this is my favorite part. I love this part. And Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. I think that he must have been the comedian of the group or something like that. Because I don't know why I think that's funny, but I just do. So they went out. They were going back to the town where they met some hostility. And we see that the disciples tried to convince Jesus to stay, saying, well, if he's only sleeping, maybe he'll get better. You know, he's resting. Maybe he'll bounce back. I'm sure they have doctors over there, and I'm sure he has pretty good health insurance. So the chances of him recovering are pretty good. But Jesus, because he deals with us human people and our finite understanding of how things work, says it very plainly. It says, no, you guys aren't getting it. He's dead. Our friend has died. And then Thomas, the funny guy, says, let's go and die with Jesus. So they were willing to do what it took to get to Lazarus, even if it meant having their own lives ended. And they go off. They journey to Lazarus. Again, I don't know where exactly Jesus was, but I'm sure it was at least another day or two before he was able to get there. Hiking through the wilderness, and they arrive at Bethany, where Lazarus had been in a tomb for 4 days. He was no longer sick. he was dead. And we come across a scene where the people are consoling Martha and Mary. And for us humans here on earth, that makes sense because that's what you do when you lose a loved one. You would hope that you would have a community of people to help you out. So upon seeing Jesus, we see that Martha is the first to come out to see while Mary stays in the house. And if we put ourselves in the shoes of Martha and Mary, what do you think their response is going to be when they heard that Jesus took an extra 2 days before he went to see his friend? Let's go ahead and read Martha's response here. Verse 21 through 22. It said, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. So it starts off very putting blame on Jesus. If only you had been here sooner, if you didn't take your 2-day break, we would still have Lazarus, you would still have your friend, I would still have my brother. But we see here the heart of Martha, the true heart of Martha, because she says, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. It's like saying, even though you took 2 extra days, had to pass through a town that wanted to kill you, had to travel the distance, and even though your disciples wanted to keep you behind, even after my brother had been dead in a tomb for 4 days, God is still faithful to the promise that you made. And what was that promise? That Lazarus would be alive. They would see him again. Now, if we go put ourselves in those shoes, how would we react to the news when we would see Jesus? In the midst of grief and sorrow, hurt and pain, oftentimes we don't think very rationally. But our heart should be like Martha, as we're going to see here, that her heart was filled with faith and trust. And we see that Jesus confirms this promise that he made to them, to Martha in verse 23. And it reads, Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. But Martha took that as a, yeah, we're going to see him again, Jesus. I understand because I believe you. I know who you are. You're the Messiah. And if I believe in you, we'll see him again in heaven. And Jesus confirms that as anybody who believes in me will live and not die. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. And Jesus asks a simple question to Martha, and he's asking us a simple question today as well, is do you believe? Do you believe who I say I am? Will you trust me, the promise that I made to my disciples in a distant part of town, to you and to your sisters, you believe that you will see your brother again? And because Martha's heart was one that was of faith and trust, she believed wholeheartedly. She knew that she would see her brother again, but not in the way that she thought. And again, for us today, how hard is it to have a heart like Martha's when things don't pan out? We oftentimes go in a very opposite direction of Martha's. We tend to just stop at the first sentence and don't continue on. Because where was Jesus when I needed him 2 days ago? Where was he when I needed him a week ago or a month ago? I haven't even heard from Jesus in over a year because he never seemed to want to help me. But a heart like Mary's, my heart like Martha's, was full of faith and trust. She was willing to believe even when it seemed tough. And she was willing to have a point of view that pointed to heaven and not on herself. And so we see that Martha had a very godly point of view. So let's take a look at what Mary and her interaction with Jesus was. So let's go to verse 30 through 34. And it reads, Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at the feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would have not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. And they told him, "Lord, come and see." So her reaction was very similar to Martha's reaction. "If only you had gotten here sooner, Jesus. If only you didn't take your 2-day break, I'd still have my brother and you still have your friend." But that was it. It was all blame. She didn't have a perspective like Martha of the heavenly purpose, of Jesus' purpose, and understanding really who Jesus was in this situation. And we see that not only her, but there's the people around them. There is a crowd. And you ever notice that anytime there's a crowd around surrounding people, it usually has a negative effect on the person. So they were looking for somebody to blame. They were looking to blame Jesus for not fulfilling the promise. And we see a characteristic of Jesus that sometimes comes out. He gets angry. That word also gets kind of translated as to agitated and even more perplexed. So why would Jesus be so perplexed and agitated? Well, we have a gal, Martha, whose heart was full of faith and trust, believed everything that Jesus was and who he said he was. But we have Mary's heart, who's kind of full of self-righteousness and doubt. She and the crowd didn't believe that Jesus would do what he promised. They didn't have enough faith that Jesus was who he said he was, is. And it seems like Jesus is, at this time, couldn't understand why they just wouldn't believe. But it's very easy to slip into a very Mary-minded heart. Because a lot of times when things don't pan out, we want to make it about us. We want the outcome to be exactly the way that we want it to be. And we want the results to happen now. But that's not what oftentimes happens. Jesus was angry and perplexed because, just put yourself in Jesus' shoes. He's done so many things for so many people, and they still don't believe him. They still doubt who he is. So we see Jesus journeying off to the tomb, and we're going to read verses 38 through 43 now. And then Jesus, still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told him. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave cloths and his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Just a second ago, Martha had 100% reassurance that Jesus was who he was. And again, very humanistic of ourselves to always question when things seem to be going good or question the intention of God's plan. But Martha had a lapse in her belief. But we see because she had a heart that wanted to believe, to have that faith and that trust, that Jesus reassured her. Because even Martha, who believed that Jesus was Lord, had a quick time of doubt. And again, Jesus is trying to constantly get the people around him to see the promise and believe. And if we were to just, if we look at ourselves and our lives today, if we were to be a people who trusted God 100%, what would our lives look like? What would our relationships look like? What would our neighborhood and our cities and our state look like? If we walked around with confidence, the same confidence that Jesus had when he shouted, "Lazarus, come out," what would that look like? And it was at that moment when Jesus shouted that, that the faith of Martha was confirmed, that she saw her brother again. And it was at that moment that Mary's loss of faith was reforged, was refound, rediscovered. And if it makes a lot of sense in chapter 12 when Mary meets Jesus at Lazarus' house and she pours that perfume all over Jesus' feet and wipes it with her hair, that makes a lot more sense now. Because her brother was dead, she didn't believe who Jesus was. And Jesus fulfilled a promise, and she was grateful to Jesus, to Lazarus' friend, for bringing his brother back. So there's a promise in this story that was given to the disciples, to Martha and Mary. And at the time, it seemed like it seemed too good to be true, or it didn't seem to make sense, but that promise was fulfilled. And better yet, it was fulfilled in a way that it exceeded the expectations of the people around them. People's lives were changed because of the trust. It not only changed Martha and Mary. Daniel, got the video ready? Yep, you ready? Okay. Not only did it save and change the lives of Martha and Mary, it also changed the life of Lazarus. Let's go ahead and watch the video. He's the King who's come to save us all. That this new promise as we approach Easter is a gift of salvation. It's a promise that no matter what, He will come to our rescue, even when it doesn't seem like it's the best time. That this promise is a gift. And things about gifts, whenever you get a gift, whenever you get something from somebody, we oftentimes don't usually question the gift. We don't try to figure out if it's the right gift or if there's a better gift in the process. But this gift that Jesus is giving us, this gift of salvation, we shouldn't be fear of what happens when we receive this gift. But rather, we should enjoy the peace that comes from knowing that this gift is perfect. That we should enjoy the journey, the ride, that when we receive this gift, what that gift brings. Because God won't disappoint when we take it. And this is for new believers. This is for if you've been a Jesus follower your entire life. Because just like Martha and Mary, we find ourselves in that place all too often. That this promise, this gift that He gives us, when Jesus walks the road of Calvary, that we get His Spirit and we get to live a life that was intended for us in the beginning. That He is faithful to His children, even though when it feels like He's abandoned us, even if you felt like He's been distant, but He's there to prove that He's in your life, in our life, in my life. He's there even when you feel like you've had a lapse of belief. When you've had those times where you go through something and it just seems like, well, where was God at? I needed Him 2 days ago. I needed Him a week ago. I needed Him a month ago. I needed Him a year ago. That just like Martha, if you believe, He's there to reassure you when you fall into those times. So the worship team is going to come on up and we're going to sing our last song. So the promise of Easter is salvation. And the final question is, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the gifts of salvation that we have been given freely? How will that impact my life, my marriage, my family, my relationships with y'all, with my business, with the different church endeavors that I go on, what does that promise, what does living out that promise when I receive the gift look like? So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to go ahead and have the worship team send us out. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this morning time. We just thank You for Your word and how it speaks to our lives. And Lord, I just pray that as we leave here today, that we would realize that we all can receive a gift, even if we've taken it once or twice before, Lord, but this gift is always there for us. And it's this promise that we can have a complete life in You, to life that is fulfilled, a life that You meant at the beginning of creation. So, Father, help us to take this gift without fear, Lord, that we would abandon all worries and concerns, that we would enjoy the peace that comes from that we would enjoy the journey and the ride and the amazing things that You do when we live through this promise. Lord, for us who are like Martha, sometimes doubt, Lord, but understand where You're at, that You're the Lord of our life, that we believe You. Reassure us in those times when we need You. And so, Lord, for those of us who has a heart like Mary, who's lost the point or has lost the focus and wants to make it about them, Lord. Show us in a miraculous way like you showed them when you raised Lazarus out of the tomb, Lord. Reassure them. And Lord, for those who feel like they're just dead or there's just no life, we pray that you just use the authority of your Spirit to just give them life like Lazarus. So, Father, thank you for today in your Spirit, and we just pray this in your name. Amen.